the first meeting of the year. I will call the January 23rd, 2024 City of 50 Lakes Planning Commission Board of Adjustment meeting to order, and we'll start with roll call.
Frank.
God.
Bob.
Gary.
Larry.
Oh, Mike is attending remotely, yep. Mm-hmm. The third item on the agenda is to elect a chairperson and a vice chairperson. I think, Bob was the chairperson last year, and I believe Don was the vice chairperson. Are there any nominations for chairperson?
I nominate Bob. He does a good job.
Okay, is there a second to that? And then I'll ask for more nominations.
Yep.
Okay, we have an election in a second. Are there any other elections for, or nominations, sorry, for chair? Okay, Mike, no?
No.
You can nominate yourself if you'd like.
I think we have a good nomination.
Okay, so we have a nomination and a second for Bob Stancer for chairperson. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 I'll hand it over to the chair.
And now we have to elect a vice chair, and I'll make a nomination for Mike to be vice chair.
Ooh. I'll second that. He's still smiling.
Okay.
Any other nominations for vice chair? Got Mike nominated. We've got a second.
Acceptable speech.
Yeah. I'll second it. No, he seconded it. Okay.
All right. All in favor of Mike being vice chair?
Aye.
Aye. Welcome aboard as vice chair, Mike.
I should do these meetings remotely more often.
Yeah, very respectful.
Any additions or deletions to the agenda? If not, we'll go into the public hearing, which we have two of tonight. The first one is Ordinance Amendment 03-2023 to modify Section 2.06, Right of Inspection, Section 4.03, Land Use Tables, Section 6.05, Plat Design Standards, Section 9.06, Parking, Storage, and Usage of Recreational Vehicles, in addition of Section 9.20, Transient Food Unit, applicant, City of 50 Lakes. And that's a continuation from earlier discussion. So with that, Justin, I will turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. As you said, this is a continuation from the December meeting. The only changes we've made to the proposed amendment are regarding the parking, storage, and usage of recreational vehicles. And we'll go through those proposed changes, but basically what we did is we incorporated the DNR's comments and recommendations into the amendment. And so I'm not going to go through in detail unless you'd like me to with the other sections of the ordinance. 2.06, basically giving planning commission members and councils the authority to go on site when someone applies for a variance, conditional use permit, or subdivision. Section 4.03, the land use tables. We've included mobile food units and placement of recreational vehicles in the land use tables. 6.05, we've increased the park dedication fee from 1% to 5%. Are there any questions on the first part of the ordinance? I think we've been through those a couple times now. 9.06, parking, storage, and usage of recreational vehicles. So the first two sections, 01 and 02, is the current ordinance. So we're striking that, starting over, and adding a new 9.06. We're calling that section general. And then the DNR had recommended that we define, because we break down short-term placement of RVs and long-term placement of RVs, and they said in their last comments that we should really define what we're calling short-term and long-term. So for the purposes of this section in subpart A, the following definitions shall apply. Temporary placement shall mean the placement of recreational vehicle on a property for up to 21 days in any 6-month period of time. And then subpart two, long-term placement shall mean the placement of a recreational vehicle on a property for more than 21 days in any six-month period of time. And then I guess we'll stop there for now. There was a question about, previously a question about why we're using the six-month time frame. And I don't have a good answer to that. I looked in the current ordinance, it's not in there, and I can't remember why we came up with that. We could change it to a year. We talked a lot about how it might be difficult to monitor exactly if someone's using an RV for 19 days, 20 days, 21 days, 25. Like, you know, how are we gonna administer that? But I'm not sure why we picked that 6 month time frame.
I would think it would, you know, if you started it at inception when it's parked and went 6 months from there, it could, you know, basically include any section of the year in six, or any section of a 6 month period.
Okay.
So it could stand the way it is, I think.
If I could interject, I think we also had a discussion about these kind of recreational vehicles are seasonal. So the short-term use would mostly span over the season that it can be used and not over 12 months necessarily.
Good point, Mike. So I think we're fine with the 6 months.
Yeah. I was going to ask a question. How many 21-day permits can you get? It doesn't say one, two, or three. I mean, can just every seller they can do it?
Yeah, so
or is it?
For up to 21 days with this, as it's written, up to 21 days in any six-month period, you're allowed to have an RV without a permit.
Right.
If you exceed 21 days in any six-month period of time, you're required to get a permit, which would also require then, after 3 years, to install a holding tank or a full septic system.
Right.
Yeah. So, Gary, did you want to?
Well, I like the comment that Fred made about from the time it you place it, but I don't know this wording. I could see it. I feel some gray areas there that somebody could say, well, what is the 6 month period? Does it run from, you know? But with what Fred said, that I think that wording should be added in here somehow. That from the time of first placement, that's when your 6 months starts or something. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I can see people trying to work around this pretty, you know, because it's like I said, I could say, okay, my first 6 month period runs from January to June, and then from June to December, I've got another 21 days. I mean, there's a lot of interpretation.
Well, couldn't they do that? Yeah, sure they could. Yeah.
Right.
Twice in 1 year.
So it we'd be allowing it up to 42 days in a
year.
In a year.
Yes.
So, and I guess I figured that 21 is kind of where we wanted to max a
water system.
It's just to me, there's a little something there that
short term
that could raise arguments in the future. I guess the way I look at it. But as Fred had stated, I'd be
not a long term. It's good for 3 years.
You know, because nobody's going to put it on there. January, but
yeah.
You know, but if you set it in April, then you pretty much burn through the entire summer in that time, you know. So,
well, if you don't do it in January, then you're only going to be able to probably do it once a year.
Right, right. But I don't know. I've seen how people try to come around the end on things sometimes, and just to prove a point, maybe more so than anything, but I guess that's something we can address if it ever does become an issue, too.
Yeah, this might be sort of a work in progress. It is going to be difficult to monitor exactly how many days, and especially if you have a six-month time frame, exactly when it was placed, unless you have documentation from neighbors or even that. I think the intent of it is if you're having your RV set up long term, you need to have a permit. If you're having guests up for a weekend or a couple weeks, they don't need a permit to put their RV in the driveway. But if it's set up and being used as a dwelling, then the city's requiring a permit.
So as an example, we had a reconstruction addition that we approved that had a fifth wheel sitting on the property so they could stay in the fifth wheel while they were doing the construction. Mm-hmm. And if that was over 21 days, so that would require a permit, right? Or not? Or would, well, yeah. I guess it could be there for 42 days over 12 months.
Yeah, unless they pulled it off. Technically, yeah. Not technically, yes, it would.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's the intent.
Yeah.
But yeah, with this language, it would. Yep.
But I think a person that's using it that way, and they know they're going to be longer than 21 days, they would probably be fine applying for a permit to have it there for
1 year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or whatever it takes for the construction project.
Yeah, I guess with that, if a dwelling's being constructed, we could just permit them both at the same time. They wouldn't need a holding tank, right? We would just permit the placement of the RV and then construction of the dwelling with the condition that the RV needs to be removed when the construction is complete.
Right. Yeah. Now, in that case, it wasn't a new construction, so there was an existing septic.
Oh.
Whether that fifth wheel was using that septic system or whether it was being pumped by somebody, I don't know. I don't think it ever left the property.
Oh, it would be very convenient to be able to use their own septic system, you know, and just being able to drain it off.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, is that you might have to get a different lid for your tank.
Right. But I mean, if you're going to be spending any time out there while you're having a house, it would be a good idea to put the septic in if you're thinking ahead, you know.
Okay, well, ultimately, it'll be council's decision. If you want to change it to a year,
I know that our intent is very good here, and there aren't going to be hardly anyone that's going to take advantage of it, but it always seems like there's one, you know. And I guess we can look at that when that happens, too.
Okay, so subpart B under that section, recreational vehicles shall be stored inside or shall be located to reduce visibility through the use of topography and vegetation as viewed from public water and adjacent property. C.
And there we're talking about something different.
Yes.
We're talking about actual storage.
Correct. Yep. And then C, RVs must meet dwelling setback requirements for the zone they are located in. So that includes the lake setback, side yard setback, and road right-of-way setback. Also setbacks to wetlands. D, there shall be a maximum of 4 units allowed on a property at any one time. And I know we had a lot of discussion on that. What's the number? And that's the number you landed on, is 4. Letter E, this was added per direction, I think a requirement of the DNR, that no recreational vehicle placement, either temporary or permanent, shall result in the use that is kept, used, maintained, or advertised as, or held up to the public to be a place where sleeping accommodations are furnished to the public without an approved CUP, short-term rental license, and or commercial designation. So they don't want them being rented out as secondary dwelling units. And they, I think have very clearly stated that and covered all their bases. 9.02, temporary placement for use. Any owner or tenant on a lot may use a recreational vehicle for guests for a period of up to 21 days in any 6-month period without a permit. So that's temporary use, and then we have long-term placement for use. And so the long-term placement, so the placement of RVs for more than 21 days on a property in a 6-month period, are considered long use, long-term use. Long-term placement of RVs requires a permit. An annual permit for a long-term placement for RVs other than in a campground shall be allowed, with a land use permit for up to 3 years, and we agreed more of a, I guess, admin type thing. If they want to come in and apply for one permit for 3 years, it's $50 per year. They can apply for all 3 years at the same time. It's one permit, $50 per year. That's on the fee schedule. Letter C, placement of RVs on a property for more than 3 years shall require an interim use permit and installation of a conforming water supply and subsurface sewage treatment system as defined by this ordinance, which does include holding tanks. If you remember, for IUPs, an interim use permit is essentially the same thing as a conditional use permit, so it does require a public hearing. I want to say the application fee is like $500. We would then notify the neighbors and have the public hearing here, and you would add a condition that they install an SSTS by whatever date, and then you could also put an end date, termination date on the permit. Letter D. One RV may be considered a guest cottage on a lot meeting the minimum requirements for single-family residential lots in Section 5.01 if no other guest quarters or guest cottages are located on the property. And we tweaked that one a little bit based on guidance from the DNR.
One clerical question. Mm-hmm. Up above in 9.06.02, letter A, after that 21 days and 6 months, do we need to put the number 6 in there in parentheses like we do other places? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. So I think this ordinance has come quite a long way. We heard it with the draft, we reviewed the draft, we made changes, we sent to the DNR, and now we're, I think, on the home stretch of this. But are there any questions or comments? It's, of course, going to be a recommendation to the City Council, so they'll make the final decision, but are there any changes you'd like to see made to that section? Yeah, I think it came out.
So there's no limit to how long you can keep your recreational vehicle. So if it's after 3 years, you have to put your sewer system in and water.
Yep.
You can live in that thing forever.
So that's a good question. It'll be determined by you all, mm-hmm. as a planning commission, as part of the interim use permit. So for an interim use permit, like I said, it requires a public hearing, and then you would take input from the neighbors and the general public, and then you would issue the permit for long-term placement of the RV for whatever time frame you decide. They might propose something, they might say, well, we want it for 10 years, or we want it for 5 years, or we want it indefinitely. So you could put a condition on the permit that says that the IUP will expire in 10 years, or it'll expire when the property changes ownership, or you get to pick. And you're gonna make that decision based on public input, information from the applicant. You know, there are various factors. How visible is it from the lake? Is it sticking out? There, you could add conditions for screening. Every case is gonna be a little bit unique. But yeah, your planning commission will decide. Lucky you. But usually it's, you know, a common one is when the property changes ownership, the permit is nullified. Or, you know, or until a dwelling is constructed on the property, something like that. But the main thing there is requiring them to install an SSTS and a well. Mm-hmm. And the thought with the 3 years is that would give them adequate time to plan for that if they do want it on a property long term. Any other questions, comments? Mike?
No, I think it looks good. We've had a lot of discussion on these topics.
Okay, the next section, I won't go through the entire thing unless you want me to, but it's regarding mobile food units, and we're adding this entire section to allow mobile food units with a permit with the standards listed, A through R. The city attorney did review this entire amendment. He did have just one, I guess, minor comment or question regarding letter R, and that states that sales are permitted in a city park when approved by City of 50 Lakes. And his question was, is that city staff? Is that the council? To me, it's probably just city staff. They're, you know, representative of the city. But if the clerk wanted input from the council, she could obviously get that. But the city is a city to me. Mr. Ryerson.
I don't see anything in here for enforcement, and I think maybe you want to consider adding something if there's a violation. I don't think it's a big issue, but if there's a violation, I think it would be reasonable if you could revoke their permit. Maybe that should be added. And that would be up to you.
Yeah, we do have an enforcement section, which I think we could use 2.05. Basically stating if something is in violation of the ordinance, then we can, you know, issue, not citations, but orders to correct, or it's, I think, a misdemeanor. So we have that in here.
You want to add that maybe to the list then, so it's evident?
Well, you're just saying in the general ordinance.
Just reference that portion of the ordinance. Would that make sense? I don't like it where you've got something that's hidden somewhere else and you come and apply for this and you're not really aware of what your penalty could be if you violate.
I mean, we don't reference it anywhere else. Like if you need to build a house 75 feet from the lake, we don't say if you don't, then 2.05. So I think it's a good point. I don't honestly know if it's necessary. I can show you the enforcement section if you want to see it. That's if you're in violation of any section of the ordinance.
Okay. Good. Leave it as it is.
And the thing to consider with these is that if you look at the in section 4.03, the land use tables, these are only going to be allowed in two zones. The commercial zone and the commercial mixed-use zone. So if you look at the map, it's anything in orange and yellow. So there's not a lot of areas of the city that these are going to be allowed in. It's just a handful of properties. So I think if enforcement is an issue, I don't think the city's going to be like overrun with mobile food units.
No, I hope we'll get a few.
Yeah, you might. There's been discussion about this corner over here, city-owned property being a potential location, which I think is great. There's a whole separate side that needs to be addressed with, like city insurance and all that sort of thing.
Where the new pickleball courts and stuff are, could you have a food truck down there?
So yeah, sales are permitted in a city park when approved by the city, so the city clerk or council would have to approve that.
Yeah.
In the application for the permit, is there like a time frame from a date to a date? Or I don't see that in your... like a 3-day or 4-day or 6-day or...
We have hours.
I don't think there's a date mentioned. There are a number of days mentioned.
Well, some place states that it can't be left.
Can't be left unattended.
Left unattended
as a whole.
So, okay. So unattended would be, I mean, you have to take it off the property at night, right? Because you can't just leave it there.
You'd have to reapply for a permit for another day, probably?
I think we would ask, that's a good point, on the application form we would say, we're not going to require a new permit every single day, but I mean, with this, we would say it has to come off at the end of the day.
Right, right.
You know, do we have like a couple, 2 or 3 day events here? Occasionally, at least 2 day, 3 day, really, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, I think 50 Lakes Day, they bring them in early. But here it exempts food trucks as part of a community festival or event.
But even on that day, we pretty much, they're come in and go all on the same day.
On the same day, yeah.
Yeah. Should we say not be left on a property for more than 3 days, a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Not call it the days, but...
What do you mean by not left? At night they could leave it overnight?
If they want to. I mean, we'd have to have some sort of disclaimer, like the city's not liable.
I prefer to have them take it every day, I think.
Okay, you know? Yeah, I agree.
Because there aren't that many events where we want to leave it overnight.
Right.
And they're mobile, so
I mean, hook it up and
take it off.
Yeah, otherwise, okay. Yeah, if they get vandalized, we don't want any part of that. Or
makes sense.
But yeah, you know, this permit, a length of time, is it good for the year or what? That is a good question, you know. Or do you got to apply for the permit every time you go for an event, you know?
I think it would be for the year. We would ask for what dates they want to operate.
I think that would be the best. And, you know, in all honesty, I kind of ran this by my friend with the food trailer. And I asked him to look at it and if he had any questions. And really the only question he had was just as Don had asked. What if somebody's goofing up? You know, they shouldn't be there, you know. So, and I think anybody that's not cleaning up after themselves and stuff like that, they just don't need to come back, you know.
And we're covered.
Yeah.
Well, I can open the meeting to public comments.
Do I need to go sit over there?
I'll close the meeting to public comments. Any further discussion, or would somebody like to make a motion that we recommend this to the council? Because the council will make the final decision, right?
Correct. We're
making a recommendation to the council.
We didn't make a motion on the first part either, did we?
It would be the amendment as a whole, so it's ordinance number 03-2023.
Yep.
No, we were talking about all of them, the recreational vehicles, that's a recommendation to council also. Are we going to make one recommendation for all of them?
It would be one. So the whole, all the changes are in one amendment.
Yep.
I would make a motion to recommend to council 03-2023, all our amendments, ordinance amendments.
All right, thank you, Fred. Second.
Should we have something?
Mike, did you have something?
I did have a question. The point about the permit period for the food trucks was a great question. Did we reach agreement that we would make that for 1 year?
We would list on the application form what dates they want to operate. They could amend the permit, of course. But we would say, yeah, like what, you know, is it?
I think that makes sense because there might be some regular interval where they come, you know, once a week on a Friday or something like that. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, getting a permit every day is onerous.
Yeah.
So when we approve this, we're agreeing that should be added to the to part of the ordinance.
More of an administrative decision, I think.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I agree with the approvals that have been stated here.
Okay. Fred made a motion. Don seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Next item on the agenda is amendment to the 50 Lakes short-term rental leasing ordinance. Number 02-2023. The purpose of the public hearing is to consider amendments to the City of 50 Lakes short-term rental licensing ordinance. Applicant is the City of 50 Lakes. And with that, I will turn it over to you, Justin.
Okay, thank you. And I will apologize in advance to inform you that there really is no leeway on this ordinance. So the county has contracted.
We're basically adopting the county process.
Yes, right. And they have said that they will not, unless you want to administer it on your own, but they said they will not administer short-term rental properties or the ordinance for the city unless you have an identical ordinance. So they have made changes to their short-term rental ordinance, which means that the city now has to make changes to your short-term rental ordinance. We can go through them, but you really are not going to be able to make any sort of changes to them.
I have a question again. Here again, on page 14.
Yeah.
I'm confused. They talk about at the very top enforcement, where they're doing the enforcement, and at the very bottom, they're asking that if they are going to do the administration, which we're asking them to do, mm-hmm. if you go to the very bottom line, it says the city must do the enforcement.
Yeah, so they've explained this in, I don't know if it's been memos or emails, but basically they'll handle, so if a short-term rental property does not have a license, the county will send the initial letter. They'll try to get hold of the owner, tell them the license is required, they'll send another letter, but they are not, and if they can't get compliance, they're going to turn it over to the city. They'll hand us a packet and say, hey, we contacted the owner on this date, and this date they responded or didn't respond, and they're refusing to get a permit. Now it's your issue, City of 50 Lakes, to enforce it. So they'll handle like the initial interactions and trying to gain compliance, but at some point they will hand it over to the city and say, "Your deal."
Not real clear the way it's
worded. No, I know it's not, but I do have.
You're confident the way it's worded it'll work.
I don't know how many letters they're sending, but yeah, they were almost gonna. As an example, last year they had these two packets for these two properties ready to go. There, the land services specialist sent me an email. He said, "Hey, got these two property owners. I cannot get them to get a permit. I've talked to both of them. They said they would apply. Can't get it. So we're going to have to turn it over to you for enforcement." Came in on Monday, had another email. He said, "Well, they both applied, so I won't be sending it over." So I think they try to get compliance as best they can, and then I don't know at what point they turn it over, but it's...
So that was two in our
city? Yeah, last year, yep.
And what does enforcement include besides, you know, obviously if it's a loud party, you just call it county sheriff.
Right? Yep.
But if there, I don't know, we've had issues before where it was kind of a long-term thing over in Northgate, and it just went on and on and on, and these people were so frustrated. We had a huge big turnout at a couple council meetings, and finally got resolved because the people sold the property, so they stopped doing the rentals.
So had they not complied, would you then have gone out there and visited the property or tried to get a hold of the owner?
We, I guess, I don't know until it comes out, but yeah. We would probably turn it over to the city attorney. I mean, they're going to have all the documentation of when they contacted them. They're going to have the police reports and everything.
So you don't need to get too heavily involved.
I mean, I can, but I don't think I would.
Well, that's good.
I'm not coming up on a Saturday, I'll tell you that.
I'm concerned about this enforcement thing. It's just not adding extra work for you. But if you're comfortable with the way it's written in.
It's more of the, I'll say, like, significant enforcement type things, like, hey, we need the city attorney to write up a complaint, file a court kind of thing. It's not going to be day-to-day stuff for us.
Okay.
It's more of the bigger, there is a section in here, 6.2, where on page 14, if three substantiated complaints or violations have occurred at a short-term rental within 1 year, then the license may be subject to revocation as determined by Crow Wing County. So they do log all of the complaints that they receive, and I'm not sure if they have what they consider substantiated.
Well, there's a form online that you fill out, and I think that's the way they want the stuff submitted.
Okay.
So on their website, the short-term, there's a form you fill out and you put your name and you've got to put, you know, whoever the property is and what the complaint is. So I think rather than a phone call, that's the way they want it done.
So when they talk about sending the packet over, I'm assuming you get all the complaint forms, all the reports from the sheriff, and, you know, compliance, we have all that, but
yeah.
We get the full thing. Here's a list of everything we've done. You're taking it from here because they stop at some point. Which we haven't got there yet, but.
Well, I just hope they don't all of a sudden expect you to do, because of this last sentence.
Hey, I mean, I think this is, in my opinion, better than the city. They're better set up for this. They have programs to go out and actually search these websites.
Yep.
I think they call them like crawlers or something, but I think they contract, at least they used to, with this company to monitor all these in the county. And they have a very good system in place. They have a map online. It's taken a couple years, but I think it has come a long way.
As long as they do most of the legwork, they don't expect you to get too involved.
You don't need to get your conceal and carry permit?
No, I don't think so. Not quite there.
So I don't think you didn't want to have to read through this whole thing.
No, I mean, we can go through them, but they're all in the packet.
Yeah, they're all in the packet. And
so we just have to make a motion to recommend this be approved by City Council, amendment number XX, whatever number you want to give it, 2024. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It's number 02-2023, it says.
Yeah, so I framed it up the same way that they amended their ordinance, so they made it just as an amendment to their ordinance number, which is 02-2023. So changes to that ordinance.
02-2023. So I made the motion.
You did?
I did.
Okay, I'll second it. Got a motion, we got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Mike?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Thanks. Open forum. Did you get a chance to read over the November 28 minutes? Any additions or deletions? And if not, you'll get a motion to approve. Yes.
I'll make a motion. We approve the meeting notes for the previous meeting.
The November 28th, 2023 meeting?
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
New business. Any new business? Old business. Council liaison report, Gary.
I really have nothing. I seem to have missed the last meeting due to.
That's understandable.
I got home an hour before the meeting and I just didn't feel like going. So I really have nothing.
And you got a ride home, right?
Oh, yeah. And I got a ride here tonight and she's going to come back and pick me up, too. You won't let me drive yet.
Justin, Planning and Zoning Administrator report, which you sent out in the packet.
I did. I included all the permits that were issued last year. We've only done, I think, one permit this year so far. So I included the list and then an annual comparison. So this year, or last year, 52 land use permits were issued and 15 SSTS or septic permits were issued for a total of 76 permits. That compares to 66 last year, 88 in 2021, and 80 in 2020. So during COVID and the year after, we had quite a bump. And now we're, you know, down a little bit, but it's really negligible. I mean, we're right in that 70 to 80 permit a year range. I did, on Monday, submit the annual report to the MPCA. So every year we're required to submit all the permits that we've issued for septics, and then also identify what installers installed how many tanks. septic tanks in the city. So that's been entered. What else do we have going on? Gary, Councilor Staples, and I will be meeting with Golden Eagle in a couple weeks, or maybe like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We every year meet with the golf course. It's a part of their conditional use permit to meet with the city annually to discuss the previous year, how it went. We take a look at their testing, so they monitor the fairways, the greens, and the tee boxes on a few different holes. And then we also discuss future plans for the upcoming year. So that'll be on February 12th.
And that's under new ownership now.
I heard that. I believe the management company is the same, but I've heard there's new owners there.
Right.
Yep. In addition to that, we have the weather siren. I don't know if we want to talk about that. Maybe not. We're working on an emergency warning siren on Kegel Lake Road and coordinating with Crow Wing County. The city may potentially be placing it on tax forfeited property. So we would need some special approvals from the county to do that because the Verizon Tower, as you all are probably aware, is on hold until next year, if not later.
And if we do decide to go on the tax forfeited land, we have to be ready to present. We should be ready to present at the February 20th county meeting. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just going to delay the installation that much longer. But I think we can have something together by then if that's what we want to do, rather than have a survey done to figure out where we're going to do it in the road right away. We gain, would you say, 5 or 6 feet of elevation over where I had to stake?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
We get up a little bit closer to the trees, and I didn't stand at the top of that hill. The big thing is having a view to the south. I think we'd still be all right. Mm-hmm. You really need to look south or southwest for the solar panels. So. And on that side of the road, one advantage of being on that side of the road, besides the view to the south, utilities are on that side of the road. So if we decided we're not down the road, Horvath builds a tower. Now we decide let's put it up on top of the big hill where it was originally planned, and we have to contract to somebody to move it. But if we decide we want to put power to it, power is already on that side of the road, so we'd have to contract with Crow Wing Power and have a transformer put in on the meter, but it's there. From the research I did on these, you've got a good look to the south. A lot of cities run with pretty much nothing but solar ones. So I got the impression that they're pretty reliable. So I guess, I'd be fine going to I checked my calendar, being at a meeting on the 20th. We just have to work together to put a package together.
Okay.
And where exactly on Kegel Lake Road are you docking?
Where I put the little orange stake.
We got to look for it.
Now,
I haven't noticed it.
According to the utility guys, they like to have a white flag.
Yeah, winter.
So Chad said, I'll go out and spray the snow white. But if you know where the gate is that goes to where Horvath plans on building that tower, a little bit past that is... Yeah. Curve in the road sign, and then to the left there's an access trail that goes up into that wooded area just past that. The hill is pretty high, and I put a 1x2 stake with orange ribbon on top there.
Okay.
So that's where it is, on the west side of the road.
All right.
Just to give you an idea. So I guess we'll decide in the next few days. But I don't know if we need input from Mark and Chad or...
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I'll
be out on Friday, but if you could come back Monday, we could meet, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bob, this is Mike. It's a little hard to follow some of the conversation. Who owns the property that we would put this initial...
It's tax forfeited land, and so it's owned by the state, managed by the county.
Okay, all right.
And they did a timber harvest on that, what, 4 or 5 years ago maybe now, Fred?
Four years ago.
And we're right on the edge of the forested area. The idea was to try and stay in the road right away. But by going up a little bit further, if we can work with the county, we do gain a little bit in elevation.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Yep. Anything else? Otherwise, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
And I'll second that.
And we don't have to vote on that. So. Done deal. That's
really frustrating. Just a couple questions.
Hey, we like people that talk.
Oh,
that ask questions.